I'm going to share a scripture this morning. I'm going to be reading a few verses from Psalm 46. So if you have your Bible, you can turn over here to the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. We'll begin here with verse 1. Please follow along in your Bible if you're able. The Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and are troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. And then I'd like to skip down to verse 10. God says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. May God add his blessing here to the reading of his word. These are precious truths that God is near. Notice verse 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, it doesn't matter what the trouble is. God is near. He's near to those who seek him, and he does care about us. It is the Easter season, and Easter Sunday is just 3 weeks away. And as we have been looking to God's Word, beginning last week, we started a series, 6 hours, seven statements. We looked at the first statement of Jesus' words on the cross during those most agonizing hours that Jesus suffered for our sin, suffered for us. He was not a sinner. He did not commit any crimes. But he was bruised, as Isaiah 53 says, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And so in those 6 hours, about 9 o'clock in the morning, our time, 9 a.m., Jesus was placed on the cross. And through the next 6 hours, till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when he gave up the ghost, as the Bible says, when he committed his spirit to his Father and was dead. On those 6 hours of agony, he did speak 7 specific recorded statements. And we will look at one of those right now here in the book of John. So if you'd turn over there to the Gospel of John and chapter 19. John chapter 19. We're going to be beginning with verse 23. John chapter 19. And verse 23, the Bible says, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be. That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. We see here what is, I believe, the second statement Jesus made. Last week, we looked at the first statement, which I believe was made perhaps even as Jesus was being nailed to the cross. And that statement we looked at last week in Luke 23, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." At that time, when anybody in that agony was brutal and hateful, with such hate coming at them like Jesus had received, such hate coming, such mockery for hours, for the whole night from their arrest the previous evening. And when Jesus was pressed to the max, when he was being nailed there to the cross, what came out was amazing love, amazing forgiveness. Of all the things that we might expect Jesus to say from the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow, that was an amazing thing to think about last week, and how he loved us as sinners that we are. We're all sinners. I hope I wouldn't have been in that crowd that called for Jesus' crucifixion, but you know what? We have all sinned against God. And this is what God extends to us, is forgiveness through his Son. At that very moment in time, as Jesus was on the cross, he was purchasing this forgiveness. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the greatest things. If we were to get sick this week and die next week, you know what? The greatest thing is to know that we're right with God, that our sins are forgiven, and there's no more glorious truth than this. What a Savior we have. And so that was the first statement Jesus said. And then we see here in the Gospel of John, as we've been reading, Jesus sees his mother. Now, this was his earthly mother. Of course, Jesus is 100% God. He is the God-man. He's always been God. The Bible speaks about him as active in creating the world in the very beginning of time. He is God Almighty. But the Bible also makes it clear that he became a man. He became one of us. He took on human flesh. He was miraculously conceived in Mary's womb. He did not have an earthly father. Even though Joseph played that part, Joseph technically, biologically, was not Jesus' father. But Mary biologically was Jesus' mother in his humanity. And in this moment of time, when he is agonizing on the cross, the scripture records that he saw John. He's not specifically named, but throughout the book of John, John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so John uses that same term here. And so John received this special calling from Jesus in those moments to take care of his mother. What care Jesus had. You know, of all the things on Jesus' mind, of all the pain that Jesus was experiencing, of all our sin that was placed on him, and still he cared for others, not only extending forgiveness to the soldiers who were nailing him there, but also his dear mother who stood near the cross, no doubt weeping in agony as well of spirit. And John was commissioned to care for Mary. And we can see John taking that very seriously. Now, we know that Jesus had some other siblings, half-siblings. The Bible talks about those a little bit. And so, obviously, those would have been Mary's children and Joseph's children. And so, you know, where were they in this scenario? And but you know what? That wasn't the situation, or that wasn't on Jesus' mind. Jesus chose someone who he knew would really love and care for Mary during these hours of difficulty and days of difficulty. And so there, standing by the cross, Jesus calls on John, one of his loved disciples, to take Mary as he would his own mother. And John did that. We can see he got the message. He took her to his own home, it says in verse 27. That's special. That's a special thing. And I see here, perhaps a little allegorically, I see God's care for us. God does care about us. He sees us in our need. Here in this time where Mary would have been feeling so distraught and so in pain, Jesus saw that, and he made the provision so that she could be comforted. Jesus also told us, as he told his disciples specifically, as he was going away, as he told them, you know, my ministry's coming to an end here, and I'm going to be departing out of this world. And you know what? He said, I don't leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God. And he did that, and he's done that. And the Holy Spirit dwells with his children. He dwells in us. When a person puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the assurance of the presence of God dwelling in us. The Comforter comes. The Holy Spirit comes to indwell every believer. That's a blessing. And you know, as we're going through these unique times, almost unprecedented, at least in my life, you know, we can take comfort that God knows. He sees. He's been in agony. He's been in difficulty. And he still had love left over to care for others. That's amazing. That's God's heart. You know, with all God has going on, we might feel like, you know, oh, he doesn't even know what's going on in my life. He doesn't see the job that I've been laid off from. He doesn't see the stress we have maybe in our home, or the difficulty with this or that. But you know what? He does. He absolutely does. And so let's draw near to him. We don't have to have any social distancing from God. Everything has been made possible to pull out all the hindrances. Jesus makes that possible. And we can come to God, draw near to him. And he says, I will draw near to you. James chapter 4. I will draw near to you. And so, you are not overlooked. You are not insignificant to our God. I would like to go to the Gospel of Luke, if you would. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 12. Just want to point out some things that probably are familiar here of some things Jesus said. In Luke 12, we're going to look at just two verses. Words that Jesus spoke. John 12. And we're going to begin with verse 6. The Bible says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Now, we don't have sparrows in our house, but actually just a few weeks ago, or maybe not even, a little over a week ago, we got some chickens. Little chicks, frail little things, just a few days old. And you know, typically chicks you can buy for just a few dollars, $2 or $3 for each chick. And you know what? That's the scenario Jesus is giving here. He's like, well, you can purchase some sparrows for just a couple of bucks, couple of little, it's not a big purchase. And notice what he says. Not one of them is forgotten before God. Wow, that's amazing. You know, in the 10 chicks that we got, we still have 8 of them. 2 of them died early on. And so far, these other 8 are doing pretty well and looks good. But you know what? God says, those sparrows are not forgotten before me. Wow, that's amazing. And now notice what he goes on to say. This is the whole point, verse 7. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's an insignificant thing, right? That changes every day. But he says, I know exactly how many hairs you have on your head. Wow. And then he says these words, fear not. Fear not. Therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Wow. We are not insignificant to God. He really does care about us. And he knows us better than we even realize. And so let's draw near at this time, because he knows what we're going through. All right? So there's a few thoughts on that second statement that Jesus made from the cross. 6 hours, 7 statements. Now let's look at one more before we close our time together. And this is, wow, this is also a really significant statement. And let's go to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. All of the Gospels give just a little bit different information. And so you won't actually find all these 7 statements that Jesus spoke in those 6 hours. You won't find them all in one Gospel. But when you put all the Gospels together, you see some repetition, definitely. But you see different events or different things recorded. And some of the same things recorded, but with a little different perspective. And it's neat to compare those things, not only with Jesus on the cross, but in other miracles and things that Jesus did. But here we are in Luke 23, and we're going to pick it up in verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. It says, and one of the malefactors, remember when Jesus was crucified, of course, there were 2 others crucified with him, 1 on each side, and they were criminals, and they were being delivered a sentence they deserved of capital punishment, which was how the Romans handled dangerous criminals. And so these malefactors, verse 39, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. He railed on Jesus, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, that's a word that means certainly or truly. You can count on this. Verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the 6th hour. That's noon. That's halfway through the time on the cross there. 3 hours already on and 3 hours yet to go. And notice what verse 44 says. And it was about the 6th hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour. So darkness here from noon until 3 p.m. The way we keep time. But notice this, as many were mocking, if we were to read more of the scripture, there were others mocking, there were soldiers mocking, there were chief priests that were mocking, people passing by, wagging their heads and saying, boy, you know, this man who healed the blind and raised the dead, couldn't he have, you know, Couldn't he bring himself down from the cross? And all those mockeries, which the matter of fact is that Jesus, of anybody, could have simply walked away. He could have descended from that cross. He could have destroyed those wicked people and mocking crowds. But he didn't. That's not our God. Oh yes, he's a God of justice. But oh, he is a God of mercy. Oh yes, he will judge sin. He will. But he provided that no one needs to face that judgment if they would believe on Jesus Christ to save them. What a remarkable salvation we have. What a remarkable God. The creator of the world, the one who made us, the one who has loved us, the one who has gone out of his way to redeem us back into fellowship with him. Sin always breaks fellowship with God, but Jesus stands with open arms, open to receive a repentant sinner. And wow, here one of the malefactors, as the one is you know, railing on Jesus and saying, you know, hey, why don't you save us? You know, I mean, you said you're the Son of God. And the other one says, whoa, buddy, don't you fear God? He says, we deserve what we're getting. But notice what he believed about Jesus. He said, but this man hath done nothing wrong. That man realized that Jesus was not deserving of what he was getting. He recognized there was something bigger going on here. And he had that perception. And you know what? He says to Jesus, let's pick it up here in verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Remember me. You see, this man knew, this man believed where Jesus was going. He believed that Jesus was the King of Kings, that he was who he claimed to be, the Son of God, and that he was going to his Father. He believed that simply. And you know what? That's how we can be saved. Simply believe. That's what it is. It's not about, oh, you've got to, you know, you got to really change your life. And now, are we to repent of our sin? Are we to turn from sin and turn to Jesus? Yes. It's a movement that must take place, but it begins with faith in the heart. When we believe, if we truly believe, there's a change. Jesus makes that change. And so this man, though he deserved what he was getting, though he was a criminal that deserved this capital punishment, he was saved that day. Now, he didn't have a chance to join a church. He didn't have a chance, although joining a church is a good thing and being a part of a body is a good thing. He didn't have that chance. He didn't have a chance to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. He didn't have a chance to do any of those things because, you know what, those things don't save, for one. They don't save. Does the Bible instruct us as believers to be baptized? Yes, it's a public testimony of salvation. And it's a picture of our death with Christ and our resurrection and newness of life. And God commands it. But this man never had that opportunity. But he was saved. And we'll see him in heaven. So what an amazing thing here. We see that salvation is by faith alone, in Jesus alone. This man didn't use some flowery words. He didn't have some nicely written out prayer. But notice what he says. He says, remember me, verse 42, when thou comest into thy kingdom. We can see the faith in this man, his belief on Jesus as the one who could save him. And verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, wow, can you imagine? Jesus said, verily, I say unto thee, today, not tomorrow, not by and by, not next week. No, they were both dying today. And Jesus points out that this very day they would be with him, that man would be with him in paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Wow. The simpleness of salvation. Faith in Jesus alone saves alone. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a free gift, purchased at a great price. And Jesus paid the price not only for this criminal hanging next to him, who we'll see in heaven, but for you and for me. Our salvation is the same way, calling on Jesus in faith. What a special thing that is. You know, let's be a light in this world. During this time of fear and chaos, wherever you are, wherever you're serving, keep your distance to, you know, not to put people on edge, but let's share the love of Christ. Let's through messages, through text message or something, let's encourage people that we have a God who cares, and that we have a God who's provided the way of salvation. We don't have to fear. Our God's in control. We can trust him. And so, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, there's no better day. There really isn't. There's no better day. Don't put it off. Trust him today. Wouldn't it be wonderful if through this disruptive virus that's going around the world, wouldn't it be wonderful if hundreds and thousands of people came to Jesus? That they turned from the road they were on that was without Christ, and they turned to trust God Almighty for their salvation. They opened their Bible. Many people have Bibles in their homes but seldom read them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I believe that's happening. I believe that many people are shaken to seek God. And may God's will be done through this, and may God help us to be sensitive of how we can be a light as he wants us to be in this dark world. Let's trust the Lord ourselves. Let's depend on him daily, that we might have peace and not be in fear, and that we might walk in wisdom. God will guide us. And so I want to encourage you with these words as we consider some of the words of Jesus on the cross. 6 hours, 7 statements. And now we've looked at 3 here total. If you don't know Jesus, today can be that day that you trust him. You don't need some big flowery words, but simply believing who Jesus is. God Almighty, the sinless Savior. And trust him to do what he promised to do. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This man on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He expressed his faith in simple words. He believed on Jesus. Have you? Have you? Will you live for him? I pray that you will. In our time together, I'm thankful for being able to connect with each of you, and we'll see what this next week holds. Who knows? But we know God's in control, and let's continue to seek him. So thank you for joining today, and that will conclude our webinar. Okay? God bless you. And we'll just have one word of closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for the work you're doing, even in our lives. Always at work, always doing something special to draw us nearer to you. Lord, I pray that you would help us, each one, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that you might help us to know what it is that you want for us this week, and how to conduct ourselves, and Lord, for needs that are represented in this group, we do pray that you would meet these needs, that you would encourage our homes and our families. And Father, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.